Right now, it is time to talk to my man, Sean Salisbury, of course, does excellent, excellent work. And a longtime quarterback in the NFL, USC star. You can catch his Prime Cut radio show at Yahoo Sports from 4 to 8 in the afternoon. And follow him on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you, bud?
Can't complain, my brother. This week, I don't know if it gets any bigger for the Miami Dolphins, man. And not that I want to see anybody suspended, but a great break for Miami. Haloti Ngata with the Adderall now suspended for the next four games. So that's a huge loss for the Ravens going into this week. And Miami is home. Season on the line. I mean, if you want to make the playoffs, this is the kind of game you want to win here, Sean.
Yep, season is on the line. And with all the teams, there's the Browns and the and the Ravens and the Steelers. And the
San Diego, yeah.
San Diego, there's a lot of teams battling for a couple wild card spots, and it's going to come down to the last week, and this helps. Ngata, to me, no offense, but and he's a hell of a player. It just reeks of that's selfish. He put his team in a bind, and I never agree with that. And every time I hear, well, Adderall, and said, well, Adderall's illegal. As far as the NFL goes, don't take it.
Right.
They don't take it. So whatever it is, it's just, for guys that seem to be so smart, there sure is a lot of ignorant decisions. And if you're not allowed to take it, read the list. Can't take it, don't take it. And if you're taking it thinking you're going to beat the system, you're going to get caught. That is a big blow, a great football player, and the Baltimore Ravens, if I'm a teammate of his, it's like, come on, dude. Really? But for the Miami Dolphins, it's a great, great situation. And gives them just another body they don't have to deal with inside.
Did you watch any of the Dolphin-Jets game? Because it wasn't a pretty one on Monday night.
But sure wasn't. But I'll take them when I can get them. Now, I apply this to, like, Florida State. And Noles fans down there understand this. Are the Seminoles a great team because they find ways every week to win ugly? Or is this what they are, that they're fortunate they have the best closer in college football in Jameis Winston, and they're putting themselves in a bind, and if they spot an Alabama or a Georgia Tech or an Oregon team 21 points, can they come back from that? This isn't Wake Forest and North Carolina State. So how do you look at it? Is it a great thing that you win ugly all the time? Well, you keep winning, and that's good, but will it eventually get you? I'm one of those guys that subscribes to, we know what a team is at this stage of the season, college or NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Dolphins, you'll take the wins when you can get them, but every now and again, I'm okay. I think good teams win ugly sometimes, and it was an ugly win. They didn't play great. They had to fight and scratch to get it down there, and then they scored on that drive and put themselves in position to kick a field goal to win the game. So, for me, I it was ugly, but I'll take it. The Jets aren't very good, but it is the NFL. So the Dolphins haven't had to fight and scrape as far as they haven't won all their games ugly. They've won some games pretty. So I'll take it. It's another win. It's against an opponent that you have to deal with in your division. It's in your conference. It helps when it comes to tiebreakers. But, mm-hmm. The key is you don't want to get caught up into too many of those. If you keep winning, that's fine. But you're not going to win games like that if they're close and you're playing, or the score's not going to be like that when you're playing against the Packers of the world or the Patriots of the world.
And you and I have had this conversation before. It's kind of a philosophical difference right now that you and I have about what's going on with the Dolphins and Tannehill. And one of the things that frustrated me about that game, and it's going to frustrate me if you don't do it again this week against Baltimore, is you're playing against a really bad secondary. You got a kid that can't throw the ball deep. He's never going to learn how to play with the ball deep if you don't give him opportunities to take shots. And look, Mike Wallace was open a couple times. He couldn't hit him. The one time that he did, Mike Wallace ended up dropping it. It wasn't a big-time deep ball, but at least it was like a 25, 30-yarder. This week, again, you're playing, while Baltimore's front seven's really good, and now they lost a guy in that front seven, their secondary is bad. And again, I am so convinced that you cannot win anything significant in this league if you limit your quarterback to playing in a box. And we basically, on Monday night, we had two quarterbacks playing inside a 20-yard box. Hell, Miami's box came to like 10 yards in that game because of the way the Jets were playing it. My brother, he's got to take deep shots this week against Baltimore. You've got to loosen up that safety, make life a little easier for your offense, and at the same time, maybe build confidence up with the quarterback that if he hits a couple of those deep balls, maybe now it gets into a groove, and now we got a guy that can win at every level offensively.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I don't have a philosophical difference about that. I'm a big believer in old Oakland Raider football. You come out of the first series and you take a deep shot, if it's complete or not. Then we attack, and then you get guys to back off, then you can get to your slant, hitch, curl, out, quick out, shallow crossing game. I'm a big guy in attacking. I think our difference has been the last 2 weeks, has Tannehill progressed? And I think he has. Now, a lot of the philosophy you're talking about, you're right. The Baltimore Ravens couldn't cover us as far as playing in a box, both teams, quarterbacks this past Monday night. Hell, Geno Smith couldn't play in a wet paper box if you gave him 47 footballs, okay?
Right.
So that's another thing. At least Tannehill can play out of that. And you know what? Let me give you something real quick and digress for just a second. I want you to think about Newton.
Yep.
Griffin. The guys who have done the stuff that Tannehill's doing now that have been exclusive gun guys in college that came out around the same time, one a year earlier. And Kaepernick, Tannehill, Griffin, well, Luck is advanced. So we can throw Luck in there. Russell Wilson, and Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of all those guys, I can tell you this. Kaepernick has regressed. He doesn't know how to throw from the pocket unless it's his first guy.
Yeah.
He's more talented, but, you know, I'm tired of hearing about how talented the guy is.
And by the way, and to defend a little bit of Kaepernick, they've screwed him by changing their identity, because when they ran like crazy, that's what helped Kaepernick, because you had to worry so much about the run. I don't know why they've decommitted from being such a dominant running team in San Francisco.
Well,
I think that's hurt
identity.
Him. Yeah,
they're physically
weird.
You know what? I agree.
Weird.
You know what? I can't keep defending that. Okay, great quarterbacks overcome that. They're great quarterbacks. His problem is he used his great legs and his powerful arm become a crutch, and he doesn't know how to play boring football. So you start to look at all these guys, so people in South Florida have a perspective. Tannehill's playing better than Kaepernick is.
Yes, he is.
Tannehill's playing better than Newton is. Tannehill's far ahead, far more mechanically advanced than RG3 is. I mean, the only guy, Russell Wilson, because I think he's the most poised player in the league, in Luck. Luck, the reason I throw him in there, he's not a read option guy, but he's got great feet.
And you talk about overcoming, boy, I don't think there's a quarterback in the league that overcomes more than Andrew Luck, dude. Wow.
Well, again, there's my point, because he beats you from the pocket.
Yes.
He's willing to take a shallow crosser. He'll take the shots, he'll overcome an interception or a fumble in the pocket and come back and do it. My point is, things are starting to progress in Miami. Now, getting back to this question about attacking, you have to. The Baltimore Ravens couldn't cover me and you and two of your listeners, okay? They're back in blows. And
Horrible.
Now, without the inside push from Nada, if you're Bill Lazor, you got to take a few shots. You have to. See, I'm a big believer in, even during an incompletion, you can be a difference maker if you're taking shots. You need to back them off, and then you can kill them underneath.
Exactly.
Phillip Rivers destroyed them last week. They took enough shots, get some fades. You get the crossing game, and on third down, they couldn't get off the field. They were 1.8 or 8, 8 for 8 or 9 for 9, the Chargers were. So you can win on third down against Baltimore. Don't get into a urinating contest when they start to get chippy and try to you know, bully you a little bit. Take care of your business and go after their secondary, because their secondary is not just a weak link. If you put their secondary up against the Dolphins' secondary, that's like single-A summer league baseball against an all-star team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Attack them.
That's what I'm hoping, because that's one thing that I think will help out Miami. And plus, just you played the position. Once you have some success doing something, then the confidence grows. Look at Tannehill now in the intermediate game. He was throwing behind guys. He wasn't leading them. Now he's leading them. Now he's more on target within that intermediate game. Why? Because he's having more success. You're doing the stuff that's to his strength. I just want to see him take a couple shots, because if he hits on a couple, that might just be the turning point for him.
And it'll also give him some space to operate the other things he wants to do. You're exactly right. I believe in every game. I don't care who you play. I don't care if you're playing Seattle. I don't care if you're playing Patrick Peterson. Could care less. You got to take some shots. You have to. And that's incumbent upon a play caller to call it and run it. What I mean by call it and run it, quarterbacks have a lot of, you know, leeway at the line of scrimmage in a lot of city to, when you get to the line of scrimmage, you can check plays off. Or call it and run it, where no matter what the defense is, you run this. You give them a few call it and run it, you drop back, you run a nine route and say, dude, when you get singled outside, cover three or single, hold that middle safety, man free, and throw the go route. Let's take a shot and throw the go. Throw the deep post. If look that safety down, we'll run something to occupy him, a backside corner to get his eyes there. You look in there and you take a shot down the middle of the field over, well, on a post. You take that shot. So you give him that, you take out the decision-making process, then you get him rolling, and now your crossing game, your underneath game, everything else becomes a lot easier for a quarterback to operate.
What do you think is what your thoughts on Washington? What do you think happens there? Is RG3 done there? And mentally, do you think this kid can come back from all these injuries? Because he kind of reminds me of Culpepper after the knee injury, that Culpepper was no longer the same guy anymore without that athleticism. Yep. Is RG3 the same thing?
Yeah, I don't think the confidence is just the injury, and I know what you're saying. I completely agree. When Culpepper went to Miami, and after he came back, he was limping when he dropped back in the pocket and lost what made Dante special. I'm not sure Robert Griffin III is tough enough mentally to overcome crowd noise, Twitter, people questioning him, coaches' decisions. There's a sense of coddling and entitlement that he's in. I bet there's I go on DC with Chad Dukes, and well, it was LeVar, but Chad Dukes now every Friday. I have for 4 years.
Okay.
And nobody supported Robert Griffin III more than me. I had rookie year and the rest, but I've watched him talk about regress. And he's so caught up in all you could say 4 million nice things about him. The one time somebody says on Twitter, you need to slide better, he'll respond and get after it. When's the last time you saw Rodgers respond to somebody negative on Twitter? When's the time last time you saw some Rodgers go on Facebook or Brady go on Facebook and say, no, I'm a better slider than that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, the drama. I can't stand the drama, Sean, that's come with
it's
the kid.
It's too much. It's too much, and that's the problem. And there's talk that he doesn't prepare hard. There's talk that he doesn't prepare hard mentally, I'm talking about, and watch the tape necessary to become great. Now, all these things. I can tell you this, Colt McCoy gives him a far better chance to win. That offense moves far better with him. He has regressed, so I don't know. To be honest with you, if I could move him in Washington, I would. Get rid of all the nonsense about him now. You gotta have the guts as a front office to say and an owner to say, we gave up three number ones for him. What is he worth now, a third? Well, you sometimes you just got to admit, you know what? We missed. And that doesn't mean he can't go on and play great somewhere else, because he may. But I'm not worried about his physical skills because he's talented. He needs to work harder on his mechanics. I'd love to train the kid because there's a lot of things he can do better. But it's the thing you can't teach, how mentally. That's why I tell every quarterback I'm with, I want to know one thing first. How tough are you?
Right.
You grit your teeth and stand in the pocket and deliver the ball. And can you, when you're 5 out of 24, you're getting your ass handed to you, your own wife or girlfriend can't stand you, your kids won't talk to you, your own fans are booing you, your coach looks at you out of the side of his eye, your doggone teammates look at you like you're a lunatic, can you still stand and deliver and come back in the fourth quarter and win a game when you look putrid and everybody hates your guts? That's the difference between average to good and good to great. So I don't know. I mean, he's got rabbit ears. He's got rabbit ears. He hears everything and worries about everything. So when the kid gets rid of that and lets his natural ability, like as a rookie, he just played. And he got caught up in all the nonsense. Quit worrying about all that crap. If the guy in the fourth row, no offense to fans because I think they're smart, but if the guy in the fourth row knew more about quarterbacking than RG3 did, then his ass would be playing. But he needs to quit lending credence to some beat writer in Pittsburgh who thinks he can't play. It drives me nuts. So I don't know how mentally tough he is, but sometimes a change of scenery and venues is important. I don't think he's ever going to be a star again there. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be a starter again there in Washington, D.C. I'd do everything I could to move him.
That's the difference between him and a guy like Rodgers who just says, relax, and that's it.
Yeah, and looks at people like, really, dude? You're some writer from the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal, and you're going to tell me that are we panicked? Yeah, really? I understand and respect your opinion. Well, until you get back here and stand in minus 15-degree weather with the football in your hand, getting your ass kicked, don't talk to me about how good we're going to be.
No doubt. Former USC great, 10-year NFL quarterback, current host of the Prime Cut National Radio Show on Yahoo Radio, 4 to 8 p.m. He's also on ESPN Radio in Houston from 12 to 2. You can catch him there and follow him on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, as always, my man, Thank you for the time and the insight. You are the best, brother. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure, brother. I'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks.
You got it, man. Be good. There you go. Sean Salisbury.